Golf Smarter number 127 for May 20, 2008.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Getting a bachelor's degree in golf management.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week we tap the best minds in golf to help lower your scores with tips, drills, insights, and advice. In conversation with course pros, architects, authors, players, teaching gurus, and coaches, here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Golf Smarter Podcast. I noticed that we were featured in iTunes this week, so if you're new to our show, welcome. It's nice to have you on the team. Just so you're aware, we cover a wide variety of topics on the show in an effort to make you a better golfer and a more interesting golfer as well. What many listeners have commented on is that our content is always relevant, so we invite you to please go back and check out all of the Golf Smarter podcasts in our library. Also, we give away great golf gear and invite you to stay tuned to the end of this episode for information on how you can win a new putter. Now, usually we only have one guest per episode, but today's going to be a little different. Before we get to our featured guest, Thomas Franklin, Program Director of the Golf Enterprise Management Department at the University of Wisconsin-Stout, we're bringing back a writer that we met in December of 2006. Anthony Pioppi wrote a great little book called To the Nines, which discovers the best nine-hole courses around the United States. You can find a copy of it on sale at Smarter Shopping section of golfsmarter.com. Anyway, Anthony's just signed a deal to write a new book, and he wanted to ask the Golf Smarter listeners to contribute. He and I recorded a conversation last week, and we'll pick it up after I asked him what he's up to.
I'm going to write a book called Haunted Golf, and it's about weird, strange happenings on golf courses around the world, not just in the United States, mainly in the United States. Since I've just begun the book and I have an August 29th deadline, I'm actively searching for great stories, great myths, great legends, personal experiences about anything from ghosts to odd winds to superstitions that people have, anything to do with golf.
Do you have any examples to give us some idea of where you're headed with this?
I do. I have a great story. It's interesting because the course no longer exists, but there used to be a nine-hole golf course in Canton, Connecticut called Canton Public Golf Course, and it was previously a farm, and the farmhouse was a tavern as well as the farmhouse, and they converted the barn to an apartment, and the superintendent and his wife moved into the apartment, and there was a haunting in the house. There was a man walking around dragging his – they could hear him step and drag his foot. And the windows would open and doors would open and cold wind would blow in. And finally, after about a year and a half, they were a newlywed couple. The husband confronted the spirit, went upstairs and said, "Look, we're not leaving. We're going to stay here. You're free to stay with us as long as you want. But this is where we live now." And they never heard from him again.
Wow.
Right.
I thought for sure he was going to say, "Listen, I want to play golf with you. My wife doesn't play."
What's your handicap?
Exactly.
We can work this out. And as the story goes, is that the road that runs through Canton, Connecticut, which is kind of northwest of Hartford, was known as the Albany Turnpike, and it's the road that connected the state capitals of Hartford and Albany, and was very highly traveled from the days of the Revolutionary War around then on. And the people who ran this farm, the same family that eventually ran the golf course, were known to be friendly to hobos, who were allowed to sleep upstairs in the barn, and they would never be hassled. And there's never been a story of anything happening in the barn, but obviously somebody stayed long after all the hobos had left.
Unbelievable. That's a great story.
Yeah, and I sat down with the two people. I mean, this isn't a secondhand story. I sat down and talked with the two people that were there when it happened, and it's a wonderful, wonderful story.
That's amazing. Do you have any other stories?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite. I think we've all heard of, you know, the short story, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Of course.
And there is a Sleepy Hollow golf course. And the short story opens with author Washington Irving talking about this tranquil spot in this small town in New York between two hills with a stream running through it. That's actually the third hole of Sleepy Hollow Golf Course.
Fabulous.
And the hole is known as Haunted Bridge because you have to take a bridge from, it's a par three, from the tee to the green. So that chapter will be in the book as well.
And it is a great premise for a book.
Yeah, I think so, too. When you start to dig around, you can find some very interesting tidbits out there. But I just want to, you know, I really want to get some good ones and maybe some newer ones that people haven't heard of, that I haven't heard of. You know, even if it's one person that steps forward and says, let me tell you about something that happened to me at my golf course on the fourth tee one morning. You know, I want to hear those stories. And they'll be in the book.
Okay, so what you're basically is you are addressing and asking the audience to, if they have any stories of any bizarre situations that happen on a golf course, around a golf course that they know of or heard of, to get in touch with you?
Right, absolutely.
And get and do it quickly, because you've got a deadline that's looming.
60,000 words by August 29th. That's my deadline, which means I'm just going to stay in my home until August 29th.
And put your golf clubs away.
Yep.
So that's August 29th, 2008. We've got, this is podcasting, so people can hear this in a year and
go,
I got a great story.
Yeah.
Okay, so if they have a story and they do want to contact you, what is the best way to write to you so you will...
Best way to email to get in touch with me is via email, and I have an address at gmail.com. It's called hauntedgolf@gmail.com.
So haunted, H-A-U-N-T-E-D, golf, hauntedgolf at gmail.com.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I do use the stories, I will absolutely send those people who gave them to me an autographed copy of the book when it comes out in spring of next year.
Oh, fabulous.
Yep.
And also let Anthony know that you heard about it here on the Golf Smarter podcast, please.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then maybe when the book comes out, we'll also give away a copy.
That would be great. That would be great. And I got such a nice response from your listeners with my book that I really wanted to, you know, touch base with them again and enlist their help, because they seem to be a very dedicated and knowledgeable audience that you have, so I really want to take advantage of that.
It's a hell of an opportunity for all of us. Again, if you have any story at all of something bizarre or spooky that happened on or around a golf course, contact Anthony Piappi at hauntedgolf@gmail.com. Now, you don't have to write the story. Just contact Anthony, and he'll arrange the telling of your story. Now, I've been involved in sports marketing for a couple of decades now, and I frequently meet people who say, I'm a huge sports fan and would love to work in sports. My suggestion is always, if you love sports, stay a fan. If you're interested in sports business, then maybe you should look into a job in sports. Golf is no different. The fastest way to lose your passion for the sport is to create a situation for yourself in which you have to be around it, but don't always get a chance to play. But that's not to say that you can't make a career in other aspects of the game. Our guest is Thomas Franklin of the University of Wisconsin Stout. Welcome, Thomas.
Hi, Brett. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I received an email from one of the Golf Smarter listeners, and he says, my name is Henry Moore. I'm a student at the University of Wisconsin Stout, enrolled in the Golf Enterprise Management degree, the GEM degree. Now, the GEM degree is a 4-year Bachelor of Science degree geared to prepare students for management in the golf industry. And he wanted me to do a podcast on it, and I thought it was a very interesting topic, because the industry is changing, it's growing, and to have kids who want to study this may not know or not feel comfortable that they're going to be professional golfers but want to be involved in golf. I guess this is their entry, is it?
It's a perfect place for them.
And how did this all come about, and why your campus?
We got approached by some of the leadership in the National Golf Course Owners Association about 5 years ago, and they had heard about University of Wisconsin Stout through the executive director of the Midwest Golf Course Owners Association. Anyway, the NGCOA approached myself, my dean, and several others on our campus, and they were interested in preparing a new kind of manager for the industry, somebody who they thought would meet the needs of golf course owners. And they already knew that UW-Stout had a good business program and a good hospitality and tourism program, and they inquired if we might be interested in developing a golf management program. And golf fanatics like myself got very excited and said yes. The next step was we assembled an advisory board where we had representation from NGCOA, the Greenskeepers Association, PGA, LPGA. We also had representation from some of the bigger industry players like Toro Corporation and KPMG. So we got together what we thought was a team of industry key leaders, and we began to talk about what the curriculum should be, and then each step of our development, we got insights from that advisory board so we could put together what we hope is a good program to serve the management needs of the industry.
How much did they dictate your curriculum or influence your curriculum?
They were very flexible. They wanted us to be sure that the curriculum had a very strong business orientation, a good customer service orientation, strength in marketing. And then I think the last criterion was develop some soil, turf, golf architecture, environment curriculum, not so that our graduates would be prepared as superintendents, but so that if they're functioning as a general manager at a golf property, they can understand the needs of the superintendent and the greenskeeping staff.
Well, if you have a good business school on your campus and you also have some hospitality majors, I can see how you incorporated that into this major, and it seems like a very obvious way to go. But what did you have to do on the agronomic side as far as enhancing the curriculum?
Well, we have 9 credits or 3 courses in that sequence. We have a soil science class that also has a component on golf course architecture. We have a class in turf management, and then the capstone class, and that sequence is a class on golf courses and the environment.
Very interesting. And so obviously if you're a golf nut, you were very excited about this. How much of a sell did you have to do to the rest of the faculty or even to your superiors to get them to buy into this?
This was amazingly easy. once we started developing our planning, we got some very nice donations from Toro Corporation and also from Kohler Company, which is a Wisconsin-based company, as well as a Stout alumnus. And so before we knew it, we had $250,000 bank account to do our planning.
Wow.
And the people on our campus were very impressed by that.
And I'm sure there were other faculty that were pretty frustrated by that as well.
Oh, yeah, there's, you know, a lot of faculty probably still think this is a jock degree, when the truth of the matter is it's a very rigorous business degree with a really strong science component as well. So we put our plans together, went through our campus approval, and then we went to the State of Wisconsin Board of Regents. They were very excited about the new program. And we opened our doors January 2006 for the first time. And currently, we're just over 2 years old. We currently have 150 students in the program. We have another 50 students coming next fall. So we are the fastest growing program in the history of our university, and that growth has occurred without very much publicity or recruitment. Word of mouth, particularly in the Midwest, has spread, and we'll soon be turning them away. I don't want the program to get any bigger than 200 students because we want these kids to graduate and get good jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there scholarship dollars available for students?
Yeah, we have a number of scholarships that are available, and in fact, that's one of our initiatives is to continue to create scholarship opportunities. Toro Corporation has created 4 scholarships. Golf Course Owners of Wisconsin has created 2 scholarships, and then we have a couple of independent donors who have created scholarships specifically for this program. And then also the National Golf Course Owners Association sponsors a Don Rossi scholarship each year, and they're helping us to get off to a good start, and they're kind of looking with special interest on our students who apply for that national competition for that scholarship.
Fascinating.
Yeah, great.
It is great. Is it a rigorous course of study for the students, or is it something that they can mix this up with other course of study? Or I know that my son is just finishing a business degree at a West Coast university, and he really didn't have a lot of flexibility when it came to taking electives or courses that fall under other majors.
Well, we have a general education component that's pretty typical in any business
sure.
program. The math requirement is fairly steep. But after that, there are 53 credits of what we call professional studies, where the curriculum is very prescribed with our GEM, Golf Enterprise Management, we call it GEM curriculum, as well as business, retail, service management, other kinds of hospitality and tourism courses. And it leaves us with 29 credits of electives where we try to encourage the students to develop an academic minor. And most of the students will choose the business administration minor, mostly because they only require two additional courses beyond our professional studies.
Mm.
The professional studies are so business-oriented that they can get a business minor without much additional effort. And then that frees them to take courses like wine and spirits, where they're learning about there's more to wine than red and white. There's more to scotch than it comes in a bottle. So if they're working at an establishment that has a good menu and good wine selection, the students are going to graduate and have some skills in that area as well. So there's lots of electives. One of the minors that I always ask students about is Spanish because of the very high proportion of Spanish-speaking workers in greens crews as well as in kitchen crews. So any of the students that have any kind of aptitude for Spanish, I try to get them to minor in that or at least take some additional coursework in Spanish because I think it's just going to pop in a resume.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. How much can they customize the major to suit their specific interest?
They can, and particularly with the electives, like we have a variety of minors. Property management is one that's popular. So if some of these students are hoping to work at golf facilities that have residential development or condominium development or community development, that minor in property management will really help to advance their careers. Some are minoring in marketing so that they might really want to specialize in marketing within the industry or marketing within sports generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I got to imagine that there's going to be more mothers than fathers. I would think fathers are like, wow, this is awesome. My kid is majoring in golf enterprise. But the convincing that you may have to do to some mothers who don't get it, and I'm sorry if it seems like it's a sexist comment, but like I said, I'm going through college education with my kids myself. How do you convince family members that this is a legitimate field of endeavor?
You know what? It has been surprisingly easy. And
really?
It's like you say, the dads get pretty big-eyed and just say, you know, I wish I was 40 years younger. I'd be looking at this.
Oh, man. I continue to go back to school parents weekend, which I call back to school for college. I continue to go because I love taking the classes as well.
Oh, yeah. But the moms are pretty open to this. You know, some of our graduates, we've already had 24 graduates, even though we're just 2 years old. These guys came here, they transferred as seniors at other schools into this program. But, you know, the moms just, they look at the curriculum, they see it's such a strong business curriculum, and we have two grads that aren't working in the golf industry at all. They're working in property management companies, or property development companies. So the moms aren't too hard to sell.
Oh, excellent.
Parents are really supportive. I mean, our campus is progressive. The community is safe. School's got a great reputation, and their kids are saying, you know, this is what I want to do.
And what kind of student should be investigating this program?
Well,
what's their interest level?
They should have a passion for the game of golf. And I'm guessing maybe 20% of our graduates will seek PGA certification after they graduate. But most of them have a history of growing up around golf and possibly playing high school golf, just a passion for the game. And even though we're not preparing PGA pros, we're trying to get the students to look at starting as an assistant general manager, working toward general manager as an example. We know that they have to have passable golf playing skills so that they're not an embarrassment where they work. So anybody that has a passion for the game, is ready to do some hard work, understands that management in the industry requires hard work, those are the kinds of students that we want.
And what kind of salary can kids expect to earn when they come out of college in this kind of field?
Well, the PGA publishes some salary averages each year. I think it was 2007, the average general manager salary was in the 80,000 something range, and obviously there's a lot of variability there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to get my fresh out of school graduates to be looking at salaries at least in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's so many smaller golf properties that the students need to be aware that they should be negotiating for health benefits and retirement benefits, because there's a lot of smaller operations that just can't provide those kinds of benefits for our students. So if you can get a starting job in the 40 and you've got a reasonable health and retirement package, I think that's a good start.
You should jump on it.
Yeah, jump on it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't believe the jobs our students are getting. It just blows my mind. Damn.
Like, for example, what can you come up with?
Shinnecock Hills.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Assistant kid hasn't even graduated yet. Assistant clubhouse manager at Shinnecock Hills.
Very impressive. Congratulations.
I mean, yeah, I think
good for
so.
Your resume too.
Oh well, I'm like months away from retirement, so I don't think I'll need it. But
well, I mean the school's the department's resume.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think it's fantastic. Now, obviously, he's a stellar example, but
You have to have one of those.
24 students have graduated. Only one is not employed, and that young man is determined. He's going to be an assistant general manager in Myrtle Beach, and he took his bank account, got in his car, he's gone to Myrtle Beach, and knocking on doors.
Pounding on the doors, pounding the pavement. Yeah, well, that's what they have to do.
Yeah, I know. Well, some of them are better at marketing themselves than others, and it's a big jump from college freshman to 4 years later, you're looking for a job in this industry. They have to start thinking about it as freshmen.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing I've noticed between a college senior and a high school senior is senioritis is a very different beast. It seems like a high school senior gets very lazy and a college senior gets extremely ambitious.
Yeah, it's a busy time for a college senior right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, my kid already... He's already secured his job, but we're not talking about
that. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, we're very happy.
Our program has two internships. So, and typically these are done over two different summers. So most of the jobs that they're developing get created through their internships, where they go into golf courses and they make a big impression.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't get hired where they do their internships, they get a reference, somebody knows somebody, and that's opening a lot of doors for them. And, you know, I know the PGA programs, they try to get 6 month and longer internships. So we do have some students who are taking 6 month long internships, and then they maintain their full-time student status through online courses. And so that opens up some other opportunities, because not all golf courses operate on an academic semester basis.
No, I don't think they would.
No, they don't.
We have some high school students that listen to the program. We have a lot of parents of high school students that listen to the program. And if they're interested in investigating this, let's talk about what they should start doing. I mean, obviously, they're in love with golf. They play golf, and the parents have to convince them that you may not be a professional golfer when you grow up, but if you're really that passionate about golf, here's an opportunity. What are the kind of things that you are looking for to accept these students? What's looking on their resumes and their applications?
Well, we're going to be looking for a statement describing their passion for the game, which can be expressed in a variety of ways. You know, some of our students just love working for superintendents. Others played high school golf, and others have done junior PGA tournament competition. So a statement about their passion for the game. And I don't even know what the current admission standards are for a grade point average. But, you know, there needs to be an expectation that there is a math requirement. You have to have some aptitude for business, accounting, finance kinds of courses. And And some aptitude for the science side of it, too, with agronomy and environmental issues.
I wonder how many kids would get scared off by the science aspect of it.
Some of them don't like it at all.
I would think not.
Some of them don't. But these are, you know, they're pretty concrete, career-oriented thinkers that get into this program.
Well, yeah, and they're business majors.
They're business-minded. They come in the door and say, this is where I want to get you. Can you help me get there? So they're willing to do the work. And in fact, the soil science class, they probably consider that the hardest right now. And there are student tutors that we assign to work with the students in that class. So it's a pretty supportive environment.
I would think, as well as just playing golf as a kid, that possibly even working at a golf course, being around the clubhouse, even doing the bag drop, just being in the environment would be a good way to learn whether this interests you or not. I mean, for years, I've been working in sports marketing for 20 years, and I've had young people say to me all the time, boy, I would really love to, you know, I love baseball, I would really love to do what you do. And it's like, if you love baseball, you may not want to work in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, then it becomes a job, and you have to go to every single game, and you have to stay through the whole game. But if you're passionate about the business of baseball, then you might be interested in something like this.
Absolutely.
So it's really broaden your horizons, learn a lot about a lot of different aspects of golf. It's not just about going out and seeing if you have a great score that week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a general manager at a golf course, that's a seven-day-a-week job. And the students are told this. These are busy jobs, but you're going to get rewarded for it. And there's a lot of skills that are required to be good at it. But every one of these students I would like to see have had previous work experience at a golf course. And, you know, you can't be the boss and tell some youngster to go fill the water coolers without understanding each step that's required in retrieving it and sterilizing it and refilling it and taking it back to whatever its location is. There's just so many details that you should have had experience with before you're in a position of telling somebody else to go do it.
It's an excellent point. It's an excellent point. So have you had any good guest lecturers?
Oh, yeah.
Like who?
We had Henry Delosier, who was with Pulte Homes, and Golf Digest rated him as one of the 10 most influential people in golf. He was he did the golf portfolio for Pulte Homes. We had and Henry's on our advisory board, too. We had Stephen Johnston, who was with KPMG International Consulting, but now Stephen's bought the golf division of KPMG, calls it Global Golf Advisors. He is an amazing genius with golf course financing and golf course development. In 2 weeks, we have an International Audubon Sanctuary speaker coming to campus because our environment class is being taught from International Audubon Sanctuary standards. So our kids not only know what's going on now, but they understand this greening of the golf court, the environmental greening of golf courses that's coming.
Yeah, that must be a whole different angle that people don't even realize because in the construction of golf courses, there's so many roadblocks along the way when it comes to frogs and birds and, you know, turtles.
Oh, absolutely. And the legislation, you know, there's local legislation and federal legislation. It changes all the time. Mm-hmm. So the graduates have to know where to find and keep pace with changing laws and what is or isn't permitted. I mean, to change a tee box if it influences wetland or habitat. And then we know for a fact they're going to catch heat from the community about water usage and chemical usage, and the boss has to be prepared to deal with all that. So that's the focus of our turf-related classes. It's not to get out there and apply the chemicals, but to understand what kinds of issues are going to arise from the work that your superintendent and the greenskeeping crew do.
But you talk about it being a seven-day-a-week job. It's also very long hours. Golf courses open early, and lots of times you're going to be the one who's going to get called in the middle of the night to say, you better get over there now.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not an easy job, but it's a fulfilling job. It's a fulfilling career, I should say.
Well, you know, these students, when they go out on internships, we have typically, I mean, we're only starting our third summer of internships in the program. We are new. But I have twice as many jobs as I have students to provide right now.
Wow.
Now, they're inexpensive labor. They're probably making an average of $8.50 an hour. But they come with some experience already. They've got some knowledge through the curriculum here. And their employers know that these kids are building credentials. They're not going to disappear and flake out on you. They want a strong letter of recommendation when they leave. So if I'm a general manager, I'm looking for one of my interns because it's going to make their life easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, tell me a little bit about the University of Wisconsin Stout. I'm not familiar with the school. Where is it exactly in Wisconsin, and what's the big party scene? I mean, come on, it is a college.
Yeah,
it's all part of it.
My chancellor would not want me talking about the party scene.
Yeah, well, every kid's going to anyway on Facebook. They're gonna...
You know what? Every kid that I interview right in front of their parents, I say, look, college is supposed to be fun. If you come here and don't have any fun, you missed a huge opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then there's the but, the students who graduate with the best grades are going to get the best jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You better pay attention to that, too.
Well, right. You've got to create options for yourself.
Exactly.
And so, go ahead.
Well, we're 1 hour east of Minneapolis, St. Paul. So we're in what is called Northwest Wisconsin. We're 1 hour out of the Twin Cities. And a lot of the students in our program are students from Minneapolis and St. Paul in that area.
So it's not really a commuter school.
No, 8,200 students. A variety of academic programs. We are what we call a laptop campus, so every student is issued a laptop with the same software and the same campus infrastructure. So students can email assignments to their teachers while they're having lunch or wherever they are on campus or off campus. So we're a pretty progressive school.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Every kid gets
a
laptop. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not 12 months a year golf, that's for sure.
No, it sure isn't. In fact, we still have snow on the ground.
Do you really? You must be going nuts.
I'm wiping a tear as I say this.
I'm sorry.
It got up to 55 degrees today. It's our warmest day since November the 10th, I think.
And I do have to clarify, we're recording this in the beginning of April. So,
oh, okay.
So people may be listening to this coming in August and going,
it is
where
April
is he?
I know. it's been a slow... little winter.
It's been a tough winter, yeah.
And our golf courses are going to be opening later than usual.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
We try to travel when we can, get to Florida and Mexico and go play golf somewhere else.
Why not? Why not? Yeah, well, you know, as far as kids finding out, you know, how to take advantage, you know, so much of a school is the social aspect. And I know parents really want to look at the academics and the job placement, but, you know, kids leaving home for the first time, they could get a little crazy if you've never led them before. But the social aspect of college is really an important part of the whole college career.
Yeah, to me it really is. And like, we're going to have 200 students in this program, and these people are talking not about whether it's Tiger or Phil. They're talking about what they just read in Golf Business Magazine and some new marketing strategy.
Wow.
And if they want to go golf at 1 o'clock this afternoon, they've got 199 people to call who are just waiting to go, you know. So that's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Well, one of my all-time favorite lines from South Park, I think it is there's a time and a place for everything, and that's called college.
Yeah. Now, you know, there is a new trend. This GEM program is also available online, so it's possible that a student anywhere in the world can get this curriculum and get this degree all through online courses.
Oh, well, that's very good to know. Please tell us how we can do that.
Well, to look at the on-campus or the online program, you can go to www.uwstout.edu/programs/BSGEM for Bachelor of Science in Golf Enterprise Management. And then you can access the online and the on-ground program from that website.
And if you need to see that, it'll be in our show notes, so you can double-check that. Very interesting. Congratulations, Tom. This sounds like a fabulous program. It's a nice little legacy that you're going to leave once you retire.
Thanks, Fred.
And I hope the program continues to grow, and I hope that some of our listeners sign up.
Yeah. Have them look at the website, give me a call, send me an email.
And they can get it through me. If they want to write to me, I'll forward the information on to them for you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Tom Franklin is the chair of the Department of Psychology and the program director for the Bachelor of Science in Golf Enterprise Management at the University of Wisconsin-Stout. Tom, thanks so much.
Thank you, Fred.
And it was a pleasure having you on. Hey, there's plenty of time for you to enter to win a Frankly Frog putter designed by Frank Thomas of franklygolf.com. Now, if you haven't heard the episode with Frank Thomas yet, he has a lot to say. He's got an amazing resume, and now he's doing putters. And personally, I have one and I really like it. To enter to win your putter, go to golfsmarter.com and click on the contest tab on the navigation bar. Deadline for entries is May 30th, 2008. Check out the Golf Smarter blog at golfsmarter.com to see a complete listing of all of our golf podcasts. And now you can read our weekly, unbiased, unprofessional reviews provided by the listeners about the gear that they have won on either Golf Smarter or Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. We close each episode with a quote that is generally provided by you. This week, I received an email from Martin Nalty of Surrey, England, whose club posts great quotes, many of which I've never even seen before. And I'll be using many of them in the near future because they're so good. This one came from Bruce Lansky, and it's great because when you're in a competitive situation, this is something to think about. Talking to a golf ball won't do you any good unless you do it while your opponent is teeing off. If you have any quotes, comments, suggestions, or questions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
The Good Dog Podcast is for people who are passionate about dogs.
I love my dogs.
I interview veterinarians, dog behaviorists, and a whole range of experts who offer tips and insights.
A good German Shepherd makes decisions. It will say, well, you know, I know the light just changed, but on the other hand, there's a very quiet Prius coming your way, and so I'm going to stop, whereas labs have a tendency to just follow rules.
You'll hear about some amazing canines who help their owners to be safe, and in some cases, alive.
Sometimes diabetics will test and they'll still be at 100 saying, I'm not going low, what are you talking about? And the dogs let them know before they even feel it.
And you'll pick up ideas for solving a host of challenges.
Within a week, you're going to have a dog that is calm, he lies down quietly, he's just going to be a totally different dog.
I'm Joanne Green. Please subscribe to the Good Dog Podcast, found in iTunes or at smarterpodcasts.com.